Ever wondered what it'd be like, to actually be there back in first century Galilee, like to see Jesus doing his thing firsthand?
Well, yeah, time travel, right?
Well, sort of. Today we're going deep on this lecture all about Luke, specifically Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 41, the very beginning of Jesus's ministry in Galilee.
And it's not just like retelling the Bible stories. It's about understanding the historical and cultural side of things really helps to grasp what was going on, the impact.
Okay, so set the scene for us. What was Galilee like back then? What are we stepping into?
Okay, so picture this. Bustling region, rural, mix of Jewish and Gentile communities. You've got villages, small towns, everybody knows their place in the pecking order. Huge emphasis on honor and shame, like your family's rep, your lineage. That stuff mattered big time.
So, Jesus comes back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, Luke says. But it also says a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, almost like he's famous before he even starts.
Right. And that's a big clue. Luke's connecting Jesus to the whole tradition of like Old Testament prophets and judges, those empowered by the Spirit for incredible things. Samson, Deborah, Elijah, they were known for like miracles. So people are buzzing. What's this Jesus from Nazareth going to do?
Makes you wonder what kind of rumors were going around. All good, or some folks already iffy about him?
Probably a mix, I'd say. Remember, honor and shame were huge. So yeah, some excited for this local boy making good. But others, especially those in charge, might feel threatened. Rocking the boat can backfire, you know.
Right, makes sense. All right, so Jesus heads home to Nazareth. I bet the scene when he shows up at the synagogue on the Sabbath was interesting.
Oh, yeah. Picture it. Synagogue packed, the heart of Jewish life, especially being far from the Temple of Jerusalem. Here comes Jesus, the carpenter's son. Everyone knows him. But there's something different now, this aura of authority about him.
And that's where things get spicy.
Right.
People are like, hold on, isn't this Joseph's son? They're not impressed. It's almost like they're mocking him.
Exactly. That reaction. Textbook honor and shame. They're trying to put him back in his place. Like, dude, you're just a carpenter's kid. Sit down.
And then, boom, he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads this passage. Some call it the Nazareth Manifesto, his mission statement. Good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free. This isn't just about souls, it's about real world change.
And that's what makes it so radical, right? It's like he's saying God's kingdom is breaking into the here and now, not some future thing, but a present reality, time to act. He's challenging everything, the social order, the economy, the way things have always been.
No wonder people are squirming. He's turning their world upside down.
And it's not just what he's saying, it's the authority he's claiming. Remember, back then, authority came from lineage, your social position. But Jesus, he's getting it from somewhere else entirely. His connection to the Spirit, his bond with God.
And then, to hammer it home, he throws in those Old Testament examples, Elijah and Elisha, helping Gentiles, people outside the Jewish faith. Almost like he's saying, don't get too comfy, God's chosen people, God's love and power, it's bigger than your little club.
Oh, he's pushing buttons, for sure. And the people, they're not just uncomfortable now, they're furious. They actually try to throw him off a cliff. Even in the synagogue, the anger boils over.
Wow, intense. It makes you wonder. What was more threatening to them, the social justice message, or that he dared to claim authority that bypassed their entire system?
That's the question, isn't it? I think it's both. A double whammy.
Yeah.
Jesus was messing with their world on every level. They had to shut him down.
So Jesus gets out of Nazareth, heads to Capernaum, a bigger, busier city on the Sea of Galilee, and it sounds like he gets a very different welcome there.
Yeah, total energy shift.
Yeah.
Capernaum is buzzing. People are drawn to Jesus's teaching. Luke says his word possessed authority. What changed? Different crowd, or did his approach evolve?
Let's talk about that authority thing because it's a big deal here. What does it even mean in that context? Just being a good speaker.
Oh, so much more than that. In first century Judaism, authority wasn't just charisma. It came from knowing the scriptures, your lineage, your religious rank.
And Jesus doesn't really fit that mold, does he? He's
Yeah.
not a rabbi, no official training.
Right. And that's what makes his authority so radical. He's not relying on credentials, but on his direct link to God, the power of the Spirit working through him. People sense that, They're drawn to the authenticity, the conviction, the compassion.
And it's not just talk, right? It shows up in some big ways. Like when he runs into that demon-possessed guy in the synagogue, it's almost cinematic, this public showdown with evil spirits right in the middle of a religious service.
Yeah, and it shows that Jesus's authority goes beyond words. He's got power over spiritual stuff that's hurting people. and he's not afraid to use it.
I wonder what people were thinking. Freaked out, amazed, or both?
Probably all of the above. Some skeptical, some scared. But others, especially those hurting, they saw hope, a light in the darkness.
So after that intense exorcism, Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house. We see his power again, but in a more personal way. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and Jesus heals her, just like that, with a touch.
And the interesting thing isn't just the miracle, it's what she does next. Luke says she gets up and starts serving them. It's like, true faith isn't passive, it's about putting belief into action, helping others.
Shows that Jesus' thing wasn't all about huge spectacles. It was about these everyday acts of kindness and healing, meeting people where they are in their pain, offering real help.
And that blend of power and compassion, it's magnetic. Word spreads like wildfire through Capernaum. People are flocking to Jesus, bringing their sick, their demon-possessed, their desperate hopes.
It's like a frenzy almost. Yeah. But then, in the middle of it all, Jesus actually rebukes the demons who know he's the Son of God while shut them down.
That's a great point. I think it shows Jesus' humility. He gets the real purpose of his mission. No showmanship, no ego trip. It's about the people, their healing, their freedom.
So even when he's doing these wild miracles, he's grounded, keeping it real. Good lesson for all of us in a world obsessed with fame. It's crazy to think, right? All these are different folks Jesus is meeting. Skeptical hometown crowd, that demon-possessed guy in the synagogue, Peter's mother-in-law. And now tons of people are coming to him.
Oh, for sure. Luke really makes you feel it, this flood of people from all over. They're desperate, you know, for healing, for hope, for something more. And Jesus, he doesn't turn them away. He's there with them, listening, offering compassion and, well, healing.
It's like he's showing what God's kingdom is supposed to be about. Not some far-off promise, but like wholeness right here, right now, restoration, freedom.
You got it. And I think that's what hit home for people. They were done with empty rituals, leaders who were all about power, not people's needs. Mm-hmm. Jesus was different, genuine. You felt seen, you felt heard.
It is interesting, though, even with all this going on, Jesus still takes time to be alone. Luke says he'd go to deserted places to pray.
Yeah, that's important, you know. Shows the need for spiritual discipline. Staying connected to the source, even when things are crazy.
Like even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to recharge, get away, pray, think. It's a good reminder for us all, isn't it? Even when life's busy, gotta make time for something bigger.
Couldn't agree more. Can't run on fumes, right? Can't give what you ain't got. Jesus shows us that spiritual time. It's not selfish. It's essential. Keeps you grounded. Gives you the strength and wisdom to handle life's curveballs.
So we've seen Jesus teaching, healing, taking on demons, challenging the bigwigs. Intense start to his ministry. But what about the people watching all this? What kind of impact was it having on their lives, you know?
Well, safe to say he made a big splash. Remember, honor and shame. Those were everything back then. So for Jesus to touch a leper, hang out with tax collectors and sinners, go up against the religious elite, that was radical, man. He was breaking down walls, turning things upside down, showing a whole new way to treat each other. And to relate to God.
Sounds like he shook things up good. Makes me think, what stands out to you most about these early days of Jesus in Galilee? What really hits home for you?
You know, for me, it's how Jesus blends authority with compassion. He doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk.
Yeah.
It's not just words about love, it's how he treats people, especially those who are pushed aside. The outcasts.
That's what makes his message so powerful, I think. It's timeless. It crosses cultures. It's not about rules. It's about how you live, how you treat others.
Exactly. And that's why his story still gets to us today. Deep down, we all crave that kind of realness, that genuine connection, that love that heals and transforms.
Totally. And I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? Walking with Jesus, so to speak, through these early days in Galilee. And what gets me is it's not all happy-clappy, you know? There's tension, conflict, even violence sometimes.
Yeah, that's key. Jesus wasn't just about good vibes and easy answers.
Yeah.
He was challenging the system, shaking things up. Mm-hmm. And that always brings pushback.
So when we talked about that Nazareth manifesto and how it made folks uncomfortable, was that a taste of bigger trouble brewing?
Oh, yeah. Think about it. Good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind. That's not just spiritual. It's social. It's political. Yeah. It's going right at the systems of oppression and injustice that were in place.
And the people in charge, they weren't going to just sit there and watch them dismantle their power.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Luke is kind of hinting at the conflict that's going to lead to Jesus' crucifixion eventually.
Yeah.
The religious leaders, the politicians. They're starting to feel the heat. This guy's getting popular. His message is radical. Crowds are going wild.
It makes you think, what was their deal? Just protecting their own turf? Or did they honestly think they were defending the faith, upholding the law?
Tough question. It's probably a mix, right? Human motives are complicated.
Yeah.
But they were living in a very specific world, culturally and religiously. Their idea of the Messiah of God's kingdom was totally different from what Jesus was saying.
So this deep dive, it's not just about what happened way back when. It's showing us how different cultures see the same story, the same religious texts, in completely different ways.
That's it. And that's why studying the historical context is so valuable. Helps us get past our own biases, see the layers in the text, realize there are many sides to even the most familiar stories.
And that, in turn, can make us rethink our own beliefs, right?
Hmm.
Like, what does it really mean to follow Jesus today in the 21st century?
Exactly. Because the gospel, it's not just history. It's a living story, still playing out in our lives, our communities, our world.
So as we wrap up this look at Jesus in Galilee, what's the one thing you'd want our listener to take away?
I hope it sparks that sense of wonder, that curiosity about the gospel story. Makes them want to dig deeper, ask questions, challenge their own ideas, and discover how rich and relevant Jesus' message still is for them today.
Well said. And hey, if you're listening and you want to explore more, go back and check out Luke again. Pay attention to the details, the cultural stuff, the things that maybe didn't click before. You might be surprised what you find.
Yeah, you might even run into Jesus in a whole new way.
That's a perfect thought to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Luke. Until next time, keep searching, keep questioning, keep diving into the mysteries of faith.